Hi, my name is Mark Amaza, and it's another episode of On Your Mark, the podcast. And it's my second podcast this month. Much better than the original 2 months, so glad to be back. And that's what I'm listening to. As always, there's a podcast, a half hour podcast, conversation around issues and events in Nigerian politics and economy. And it's very easy to reach back to me on your opinions about the podcast. You can simply email me at mark.amaza@gmail.com or reach out to me on social media. My Twitter handle is @amasonic. You can also leave voice messages for me via the Anchor.fm app, which is what I'm using to record this podcast. So let's get started.
There's a podcast.
So last week, news broke that Nigeria has entered a recession officially after 2 quarters of negative economic growth. This makes it the second economic recession we've had in 5 years and a record-breaking third recession under the same person, Muhammadu Buhari. In his first hours as head of state between 1984 and 1985, and then since 2015, this is the second recession. There wasn't a shock in any way. It's been quite expected. And granted, we'll say the COVID-19 pandemic has brought a global recession. Of course, it's asking for a lot for Nigeria to be an exception. We've seen our Nigeria's government revenue take a severe hit. Take severe hit with demand for oil really falling, oil price falling. We've seen the government having to take loans from the World Bank and the IMF in order to even to bridge to finance the budget. We've seen announcements by the DG of the budget office saying up to 400 government agencies may not get salaries in November. So it's not a surprise in any way that this economic recession has come. Now, the bigger issue now becomes what are we going to do to get ourselves out of this recession? So while the global pandemic is the main reason for this recession, it's also important to note that economic policies under this administration have contributed a lot to how we are handling the shock from the pandemic and how we'll rebuild after this recession. So to be specific, post 2015, we saw again being an economy that is wholly dependent on oil price. We're bound to be victims of its fluctuations from demand and supply and price changes, and so we were in a recession. However, we saw the economic policies that were chosen were built around artificially defending naira, even though it was expensive and was draining our reserves, and the CBN doing what it calls demand management, creating a list of 41 items for which one couldn't get official forex in order to manage our cash reserves. We saw import duties being put through the roof in bid to quote unquote spur local production. And here's the interesting thing. These are policies that have been done over and over again for the past 40 years or more, and it hasn't yielded results. But so somehow it seems as though our policymakers and our governments think Nigeria is an exception to the laws of economics, where it can plant yams and harvest beans, you know. And you hear even everyday Nigeria folks say things like, oh, it can't work in Nigeria, Nigeria is different. And this thing seems to have permeated to our policy making and our politicians, because rather than look at what has worked other places and look at what we have tried and hasn't worked, we keep repeating the same mistakes. But beyond that, we've also seen over the past 1 year our land borders have been closed. To stop smuggling of products into Nigeria from neighboring countries. Well, yes, there's a huge problem with smuggling. The effect of that has been that from then, we've seen a rapid rise in inflation driven especially by rising food prices. So you're looking at currently inflation in Nigeria is about 14%, a 30-month high. Food inflation alone by itself is 17%. You're seeing Nigerians spend 60% of their income on food, which is the highest anywhere in the world. And we are now at the risk of we're a very food insufficient country. Large parts of Nigeria at risk of famine and other parts being food insecure because of this belief that in closing our borders we were able to produce all the food we need, and all once we ban importation. We've seen how, for example, the president has said, directed CBN, total disregard for anything called independent of the CBN, telling them to not give forex for importation of food and fertilizer. While the CBN is a government agency, it's supposed to be independent, and there's a reason why the independence is built into the work of central banks around the world, so that they'll be immune from political decisions and the whims and caprices of politicians. You know, because even politicians that designed that system understood that they can also be, or is the word impulsive, or rather not fully think through their ideas because they're also trying to play to the gallery. But on the other hand, it's also affected business beyond just importation, also exports. For example, Nigeria controls 76% of trade in the West African region, and we do a lot of exporting across the region. But by closing those borders, those exports are unable to take place. So it's not just goods coming in, but also goods coming out, going out. And if you understand the fact that the bigger problem we have in Nigeria is not importation, it's actually exports. You know, we need to export more, and we ought to be, as the largest economy in Africa, controlling 17%, accounting for 17% of the continent's GDP, we ought to be the big brothers dragging other West African countries with us, and creating that ripple effect across the region. Unfortunately, we're actually pulling everyone down. You know, whether it's countries close to us like Benin Republic, whose economic fortunes are tied to Nigeria smartly. So you see how, for example, importation through the ports in Benin Republic and Togo are far more efficient than going through Nigeria, because they know that a lot of importers will not prefer to use those ports and bring the goods to Nigeria. Or even far away economies like Ghana, where the Ghanaian government complain about this border closure. Now, so that is the main issue. It's not just about what we're in a recession. Is what moves are we going to make in this recession? Compared to the 2015 to the previous recession, the government has been forced to the war, and it's been pushed to the, it's back to the war, and being forced to take decisions it has been avoiding. You know, like for example, the budget deficits cannot be financed by commercial lending because commercial lenders are wary of lending to Nigeria, understandably, because beyond just how will you service that loan, so how even get the money out? You have a lot of investors who have their money trapped because there's a scarcity of dollars to even buy to repatriate their capital. Incomes, World Bank and IMF. And for these guys, they won't give money for free. It will be always be tied to conditions around reforms. So things like remove subsidy, something that we should have let go long ago, because not only has it been very, very expensive for us, you know, to sustain that in terms of the how much forex it consumes or how much it costs the government, but also in the fact that it's also very inefficient. You know, subsidies, every body of research around our subsidy programs have shown that the rich disproportionately benefit from it more than the poor that it's supposed to be targeted at. So things like remove subsidy, things like allow power electric tariffs to rise again, something that we have kept artificially cheaper than it is, and then having to bridge the shortfall to the discourse, harmonized exchange rates, not just between the official and the parallel markets, but even within the official markets where there are different exchange rates. And this has been bitter pill to swallow for this government, because let's be honest, our president is a very statist president. He believes in the hand of the state to he doesn't believe in the free market. He believes in the hands of the state to determine where markets go and what and how economies shape how and basically not, you know, right now just set policies that will create a level playing ground and let the market and regulate. He believes in the state being the economy. A lot of his policies are very autarkic, tending towards an autarky, And we heard a lot from talk of food self-sufficiency, a mirage, because not even North Korea is food self-sufficient. And again, North Korea is by no way an economy should be comparing ourselves with, you know, rather than being focusing on food security. So just an example thing, you know, so we've been seeing a lot of this kind of policies. And so for them to take this money, those reform conditions have to be met. Has been really, really difficult. And I think this is a very, very good time for us to sit and start asking ourselves, what kind of country do we really want to have? You know, we want to have this sort of socialist country where the government, where every decisions have everything cheap and easy, which is not a bad thing, except that who is paying for those things? There's always a cost. There's always someone paying for it. And if we have to be diverting money that we could be using to provide social services to subsidize fuel, even when the private sector will do a better job in ensuring fuel is adequately supplied, and the government can channel that money into improving the quality of life for citizens, you know, or we keep subsidizing insisting that power should be sold at certain costs that are below the cost of production, at certain price that are below the cost of production, and then government having to bridge a shortfall, because they're not doing such a good job at it, and then preventing the power companies from able to invest because they don't know how their money will come out, and not dampening production because of lack of power, access to power supply. We need to ask ourselves, what kind of economy do we want to run? While there's no economy that is fully private sector driven in the sense that the government doesn't have any role in any shape or form, at the same time, it shouldn't be one where the government is the one picking winners and losers. Because, for example, the border closure, we have seen how in the midst of a border closure, three companies getting preferential treatment and getting export waivers. Well, Dangote Cement, Boa Cement, and an unnamed gas supply company. We have seen how imports of maize CBN stops giving official forex for the importation of maize, and then waivers are given for a few companies to do that. No, that process, you're not picking winners and losers, is in itself a very corrupt process. There's no level playing field, you know. It's and what you're doing is that you're transferring those costs beyond just making people billionaires who have, I don't know, value per se, besides having commercial monetizing their access and proximity to government. It's also the fact that you're making things far more expensive for the people who will buy at the end. And this is clearly seen. If you look at every data from August 2019 till now, you see how food prices have shot up, and then which have also pulled, you know, inflation as a whole. You just misrealize that, you know, these policies that our government has picked as the hill to die on aren't policies that are working, you know. And a lot of times, like, so for example, you ban the importation of maize, claiming this, you don't want there to be a glut in the market because there's enough maize, but then poultry farmers are complaining they're not having enough maize because the feeds for poultry are going up, are rising. And then the ripple effect is that also poultry products become more expensive. And crazy thing is that more bans are being mooted. We have a Minister of Agriculture who is very much like his president, who has mooted the idea of banning the production of milk, for the fact that the current intake of milk, even with importation, is very low. And we're not producing enough. But then under this belief that we'll magically begin to produce a lot once we ban, you know. He's spoken publicly against the idea of reopening the borders, even as the Presidential Committee to panel to look into the borders closure has said it's recommending it's going to reopen to the president, because for him, well, farmers are selling their produce more expensively, and that's a win for them. But it's more expensive because demand is far outweighing the supply. It's not because they are producing more, it's because it's just not available. So of course they will sell more expensively, you know. So again, so while we've seen, like, for example, even with this reform conduit packages being given as conditions by multilateral lenders, which will be more too, because 2021 budget, there's still a large budget deficit that needs to be financed. And again, who will give Nigeria money apart from these ones who have been waiting, because you know, to able to push Nigeria in what I believe is the right direction economically, you know. And it's we've seen how the government has dragged its feet, has been dragging its feet on this, in the hope that, you know, oil price will recover and demand will pick up, and, you know, and then we will not need all these reform packages from the World Bank and the IMF, or continue living the lie we have been living. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we've seen Europe and the United States experiencing new fresh surge waves of coronavirus, new renewed lockdowns, which is also beginning, you know, going to keep the demand of oil price at the point where it is. So the problem is not just about the fact that we are in a recession. The bigger problem is, what are we going to do get out of this recession and put our economy on a sound footing? To make a comparison, for example, in 2016, while we were entering a recession, a lot of people made recommendations, you know, on TV, wrote in newspapers, in debates around the need to, for example, quit this crazy defense of Naira, to keep it artificially cheap, and this and that, many other reform, you know, ideas, and it kept being shut down. I mean, the president himself said in his one and only media chat in December 2015, "Achalat murders the Naira." Clearly, that's why he believed that allowing the Naira to be closer to its true market value is murdering the Naira. Comparison, a country like Egypt, as you know, took this recommendations from the World Bank as part of an aid package, and, you know, began to implement them. And between then and now, it has seen, you know, its inflation rates drop from 9% when it was in 2015 to 4% currently. It has seen there's been, you know, many positive results from that, you know, economic growth, GDP growth, you know, exchange rate stability, and all of that. So, well, and while, I mean, such kind of economies will still be hit by the pandemic, no doubt, but they make a quicker recovery, and there will be more, there are more buffers that have been built in. Because even the efforts of government, for example, to offer economic stimulus to private companies, are only able to capture those in the formal economy. And the formal economy in Nigeria is just 35% of its economy. We are largely an informal economy. Granted, government is doing its best to push a new finance act that provides things like some tax waivers for companies that donated to a COVID-19 relief fund, or to exempt companies with less than 25 million naira turnover from paying TET fund tax of 2% of their profits, reducing duties and levies on the importation of transport of cars and tractors. But still, the forms of the crucial things remain. What do we do to bring down the price of food, especially in a year where lockdowns prevent many farmers from accessing farms as much as they will have, which is, for example, onions have become like gold. And I saw a trend on Twitter that explained a huge reason behind that was because onion producing areas were not producing as much because farmers could not move around easily due to lockdowns. You see also effect of insecurity in many parts of the country. In the Northwest, for example, you now have bandits demanding farmers pay before they start farming, and then they also pay when they're about to harvest. Arbitrary sums that, you know, they might tell this community bring $1 million, or this person bring $1 million, harvest bring 200,000. You know, so it's always have an impact on our food production. And this is why, and then in the midst of this, you now slam dunk, know, close the borders, stop importation and export by land. You also put crazy import tariffs on staple food, rice, wheat, maize. These are staples. So it's something that needs to be discussed. Else, we don't know how long this will last, and we need to ask at what cost will this self-sufficiency, which I still believe is a mirage, come. Because the more we keep sustaining these bad and terrible ideas, the more that we continue to descend into poverty. We continue increasing more people that are in extreme poverty or multi-dimensional poverty, or some other form we'll describe this poverty tomorrow, for which Nigeria has now the highest number of people in extreme poverty, even more than India, that is about 6 times its population. And this is quite worrisome, and these are kind of that should keep those in government awake at night. So this is something that I believe President Buhari needs to think about, and I wonder if that's going to be his legacy as he's approaching the later half of his second and last term, and think about the fact, like, why am I always the president having experiencing recessions? Why? I mean, could it be village people, or could I be my own village people? Which, in my opinion, is more the latter, because the policies being implemented now by him are policies he tried, in 84, 85. He's saying border closure for over a year, for which that things became so bad that people had to be lining up for essentials or essential, as essentials such as milk and so on. And it feels like we're turning towards there where, and to me it's a very different of insanity when you repeat same thing over and over again and you keep hoping for different results, over and over again, and the results will still be the same. So it's we don't know how things are gonna go between as we enter a new year and so on and so forth. And it feels also like even within the government there's a battle between those who do not agree with this statist autarkic policies, such as, for example, the Minister of Finance, from an indication. I mean, it's not like this, it's my own speculation. And then those who are very, very firm on it, like the CJ of the Customs, like the Minister of Agri, who believe like these are the best policies that will drive Nigeria forward despite all evidence to the contrary. But as we go into a new year, and we will see how the government plays its cards. Will it want to stick to these policies that are disastrous? Will it be forced to make a move towards more market-oriented reforms? We're seeing a bit of that. We've seen, for example, tariffs have gone up. We have seen, for example, the PIB, there's some renewed zeal around passing the PIB. So far, no one is complaining about the new version, the new draft, which will also unlock, investment in the oil and gas sector. We have seen oil prices move and talk around removing subsidy, or rather this now more like a floating range kind of subsidy, where government still determines like the range in which the fuel price will be. Unfortunately, only the NNPC is importing petrol right now, rather than allow it to be a completely, all commerce affair. Those want to import. So all of this, as we've seen these moves, like I said, these have been bitter pills to swallow for them, for the government. But considering where we are right now, these financial pressures we are having are forcing it to having to make those moves. And hopefully this will bring a quick result as well. Or at least we bring a quick result so that they're able to see, okay, we have been doing the wrong things since. There are no quick fixes, sadly. There are no quick fixes. But more than just blaming the global pandemic for the recession and say, but then the whole world is going to a recession. It's good for us to look inward at ourselves, but what are we doing that we can do better? We need to drop, and so that tomorrow, going forward, we're in a better position. Not just to withstand shocks like this, but also to say we're improving incomes, improving the quality of life of people, and not continue to remain in this mess. So, for today's podcast, I'm just working on doing only this topic, and looking forward to hearing your views about this. So as I said earlier, you can easily reach me via email mark.amaza@gmail.com, or tweet at me at Amasonic, AmaSonic, or even better yet, just leave your message in the Anchor.fm app. Thank you.